So it has been quite a while since I was giving class, so I hope you will give me your blessings so that I will speak something to the use of everybody present. And please protect me from making mistakes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, the character of Bharat Maharaj, and it's text 8 today. It's a long verse, so I will just read the verse, and then we'll do the word for word. Tasya hava ena kunaka uchair etasmin krata nijabhimanasya harrahas tatpushana palana lalana prinana nudyanenatma niyama sahayama purusha paricharya deya Paricharyadaya ekaikasha katipayena harganena viyujamana kila sarva evodavasan. Tasya of that king. Hava indeed. Ena kunake in the deer calf. Uchei greatly. Etasmin in this. Krita ninja abhimanasya. Who accepted the calf as his own son. Aha aha. Every day. Tat poshana. Maintaining that calf. Palana. Protecting from dangers. Lalana, raising it or showing love to it by kissing and so on. Prinana, petting it in love. Anudyanena, by such attachment. Atmaniyama, his personal activities for taking care of his body. Sahayama, with his spiritual duties such as non-violence, tolerance and simplicity. Purusha Paricharya Adaya, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead and performing other duties. Eka ekasha, every day. Katipayena, with only a few. Ahaganena, days of time. Viyujamana, being given up. Kila, indeed. Sarve, all. Eva, certainly. Udavasan, became destroyed. Translation. Gradually, Maharaj Bharat became very affectionate toward the deer. He began to raise it and maintain it by giving it grass. He was always careful to protect it from the attacks of tigers and other animals. When it itched, he petted it, and in this way he always tried to keep it in a comfortable condition. He sometimes kissed it out of love. Being attached to raising the deer, Maharaj Bharat forgot the rules and regulations for the advancement of spiritual life, and he gradually forgot to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After a few days, he forgot everything about his spiritual advancement. purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From this we can understand how we have to be very cautious in executing our spiritual duties by observing the rules and regulations and regularly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If we neglect doing this, we will eventually fall down. We must rise early in the morning, bathe, attend Mangalarati, worship the deities, chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, study the Vedic literatures, and follow all the rules prescribed by the Acharyas and the spiritual master. If we deviate from this process, we may fall down, even though we may be very highly advanced. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yajna Dana Tapa Karma Natyajam Karyam Evat Tat Yajna Danam Tapas Chaiva Pavanani Manishinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity and penance are not to be given up but should be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity and penance purify even the great soul. Even if one is in the renounced order, he should never give up the regulative principles. He should worship the deity and give his time and life to the service of Krishna. He should also continue following the rules and regulations of austerity and penance. These things cannot be given up. One should not think oneself very advanced simply because one has accepted the sannyas order. The activities of Bharat Maharaj should be carefully studied for one's spiritual advancement. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Agnananjana Salakaya Chakshuram Militan Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mati Bhakti Charu Swamini Tinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Vanjikalpadarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayvacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasani Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada mentions in this purport that we should carefully study the life and activities of Maharaj Bharat in order to make spiritual advancement. And Maharaj Bharat, he was a great king, Maharaj. He's one of the first great kings or Maharajas in the history of India. In fact, recently there is some discussion amongst politicians in India that they should change the name of India back into its original Vedic name of Bharatvarsha. And so India, previously in the Vedic times, and the glorious Vedic times, was called Bharatvarsha, after Maharaj Bharat. So we can understand from this how Maharaj Bharat was seen as a pious king, as an example for everybody to follow. And in the Vedic times, it was the custom that when the king grows old and his sons are grown up to the age that they can follow him up and take over the kingdom, then the king would take sannyas and go into the forest and perform his spiritual activities of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sitting down in yoga postures and meditating on the Lord. So this is what Maharaj Bharat did. He gave up his kingdom, left it to his sons, and then he went into the forest. But he didn't foresee that Krishna had a plan for him to teach everybody from his example, how we have to be careful not to get distracted in our spiritual life. And Maharaj Bharat saw this deer who fell into the water. It was just newborn. The mother had died due to the roar of a lion, and the mother gave birth due to this roar of the lions, jumped over the river, and the baby deer fell into the river. So Maharaj Bharat then, being compassionate to all living entities, and since he's a Maharaj, he's a king, and the duty of a king is to protect all his citizens. So in this sense, he saw that helpless deer and couldn't help himself doing his previous duties as a king, his Swadharma as a king, as you know, to protect all living entities. And so here we see how our own nature, our Swadharma, is so strong that we sometimes have a hard time overcoming it. As devotees in the Hare Krishna movement, we all know from experience it's very hard to stay on a high platform, because we come from very mundane backgrounds. We have been engaged in so many non-Krishna conscious activities that sometimes those ideas still may be popping up in our mind, although we are trying to be very concentrated in chanting our rounds. But then sometimes from nowhere, these ideas from our previous activities may still be popping up. And this is also what happened to Maharaj Bharat. And so his previous nature, or his previous activities of a king protecting all the citizens, played a role, so that he got distracted in taking care of this deer. So I was looking up a few verses in Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna instructs Arjuna in regards to following one's own nature. So here we see that it was a distraction for Maharaj Bharat to follow his own nature, his Swadharma, as a king, because he actually took sannyas, he actually had given it up, but it still was stronger than him, and it distracted him from the spiritual duties he had at that moment. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna instructs Arjuna, who is still in the function of a kshatriya, but then Arjuna wanted to renounce his duty as a kshatriya. But Krishna didn't like this, so Krishna instructed Arjuna that he should fight, that he should follow his own Swadharma. So here in chapter 2, text 31, Swadharmam apichaksha vikshya na vikampitum arhasi dharmyan di yudhachriyunyat kshatriyasya na vidyate. Considering your specific duty as a kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles, and so there is no need for hesitation. Here in the purport, Prabhupada also mentioned something about the Swadharma. There are two kinds of Swadharmas, specific duties. As long as one is not liberated, one has to perform the duties of his particular body in accordance with religious principles in order to achieve liberation. When one is liberated, one's Swadharma, specific duty, becomes spiritual and is not in the material bodily concept. In the bodily conception of life, there are specific duties for the brahmanas and kshatriyas respectively, and such duties are unavoidable. Swadharma is ordained by the Lord And this will be clarified in the fourth chapter. On the bodily plane, Swadharma is called Varnashram Dharma, or man's stepping stone for spiritual understanding. Human civilization begins from the stage of Varnashram Dharma, or specific duties in terms of the specific modes of nature of the body obtained. Discharging one specific duty in any field of action in accordance with orders of higher authorities serves to elevate one to a higher status of life. And so here we see that Krishna instructed Arjuna to do his duty, his Swadharma, because he was still into that material concept, bodily concept of life. He was still a Grihastha, he was functioning as a Kshatriya, a warrior, so he had to fight. He could just not go into the forest and take sannyas at that moment, because Krishna also didn't want that. As for Maharaj Bharat, he had taken sannyas and went into the forest, so he already had given up this Swadharma of being the king and protecting all the citizens. So his natural Swadharma at this moment was to serve the Lord in his worship of the Supreme Lord in the forest. So it means that in that yogic process that he was following, it meant for him to be meditating on the Lord. But now the deer came and distracted him, so he started patting the deer, and he became ultimately so attached to the deer that he couldn't think about anybody else than the deer and the baby deer. And he forgot his spiritual activities of meditating on the Lord. So further, Krishna also instructs Arjuna that nahi kaschit kshanam api jatu tishtyata karma krit karyate hyavasa karma sarva prakriti jair gunai. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So Krishna, he's instructing Arjuna that he has to work, otherwise work, you know, has to be done, because without working one cannot even maintain one's body. And so we have to be constantly engaged, because they say that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And so here also Maharaj Bharat, because he was neglecting his prescribed duties, and he was actually falling down more and more into his desires and attachments for being with this deer, for being a good protector for the deer. And so he lost all his merits, all his good karma from meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way he forgot the time, he forgot all his duties. And when one forgets that time is passing, and then we can see in this how relative the concept of time is actually. Yeah. Maharaj Bharat spends so many hours and days in loving exchanges with the deer, without actually remembering that time is passing very fast. And so I wanted to also speak something about the concept of time. Time is actually an agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the next verse, Maharaj Bharat will also be meditating on this on this thing that he lost so much time. In the next verse, Maharaj Bharat then starts to realize starts to realize his fall down, what he has been losing his meditation upon. So Krishna says that he is actually the time, although the time is a very relative concept, and actually time is something which rules in the material world, but in the spiritual world actually time does not exist in that sense. And so time is actually the function of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who actually makes the whole material world into movement. And the spiritual world actually it is and has been and will always be the same. There is expansion of loving exchanges between Krishna and the devotees, but everything is eternal, everything is, and so there is no changes, there is no birth, death, disease, old age, there's no death. So there is no changes that happens due to the time. If changes happen in the spiritual world, it's out of love for the spirit, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this material world, we see that time is actually changing everything. The body gets born, grows older, and reproduces, and then dies. So there is this eternal cycle of time in this material world. And we see that time is a very relative concept, because when something is boring, we have to do some work that we do not like, then it seems like time is going so slowly. And you're listening, for instance, to a class which is boring, and you're thinking, when is he going to stop, and when is it going to be time for prasadam? So in that sense, time becomes very slow. We see it in old people. They sit behind the window, and for them, time is passing so slow. I had it also when I was in school, and there was a boring class going on, so then I was constantly looking at the watch, when is it going to be time to go home, or to go to the next class, it will be more interesting. So, but when we enjoy, then time is passing very fast. Maharaj Bharat was enjoying with the deer, and he didn't realize that the time was passing so fast. We see it. There are other examples in the Bhagavatam also, where there was the king who married with his apsara, and then was enjoying so many, many days, years, finally realized that time had passed so quickly. And we also see that time is very relative, because there are portals to other worlds, to subterranean regions or to the heavenly planets. And there was also some stories when Krishna and Arjuna, they went for to the abode of Yamaraj, when the son of a Brahmana had died. And then Arjuna gave him the promise that I will get back your son. Then Krishna had to take him to the abode of Yamaraj. And going into those portals, into heavenly realms or subterranean heavenly planets, is also like time passes much slower there. So if you go there and then you come back, then on the earth time has passed much faster. There is a story also of this king who went to Lord Brahma, and then when he came back to earth, generations of his dynasty had already passed. He couldn't find his own wife, his own children anymore. It was already the children of the grandchildren, the grandchildren that, you know, were ruling his kingdom at that time. So we see time in itself is a concept that is moving this material world, but it actually does not exist. It is actually something that is not existing for the spirit soul. Spirit soul is eternal, so how can it actually be accommodated with this concept of time, that things are changing and dying, and the soul is eternal, so it never has that concept that it can cease to exist, but the body ceases to exist. So for the soul, this is a very unusual experience. Yet Krishna, he says in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the time, and that he is destroying the entire world, all the people. In the 11th chapter, the universal form, and then when he has shown the universal form to Arjuna, then Arjuna is in awe and reverence, and he's asking Krishna, who are you? So then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he replies to Arjuna, time, I am the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people, with the exception of you, the Pandavas. All the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. And so, I received one time some meditation, and it was a meditation about time management, how that you can adjust, you know, your time to go faster or to go slower. It was some tape where they lead you to the meditation. So I'm not going to do that meditation. We will turn it into a more Krishna conscious experience. So I would like now to close the lecture with some short meditation, and I ask for your participation. So if you like, you can close your eyes and I will guide you through a small meditation. So meditate that you are in Vrindavan, and you see the grass, the plants around you, the flowers, and there is a little deer which is eating the grass in front of you. And you look at the deer and you see the details of the spots on its body. And then slowly your attention goes away from the deer. The deer disappears in the background. And in front comes Krishna. Krishna who's playing on his flute. So you meditate on all the details of his body. You see jewels on his flute. You see the peacock feather on his head. You see a garland of forest flowers around his neck. You see his yellow dhoti, his long hair, his sidelong glances, and you see jewels on his turban. He also has jewels on his hands, on his arms, the Kaustubha jewel hanging on his neck. And he has many peacock feathers on his turban. Now let your meditation go down his body to his lotus feet. And you see also jewels and tulsi leaves on his lotus feet. And you see a peacock dancing around his feet. Now you see how you slowly bow down in front of Krishna. You touch his lotus feet with your hands. Touch your hands then to your head. Now when you are ready, and slowly open your eyes again. And before you look on your watch, meditate how much time has passed in this meditation. Somebody would like to say something? Couple of minutes, be more specific. 5, 10 minutes. Somebody else? 2, 3 minutes. Yeah, Maria? Yeah, you're already on the transcendental platform. He said he didn't have any track of time. So actually it was 5 minutes. So you see, when you are enjoying, you're meditating upon Krishna, and time is, you know, going faster than you actually, you know, conceive how long the time is passing. Okay, so we will stop here. Maybe I invite you to give some questions or comments. Yes, Peru? There's actually one verse from the Bhagavad Gita that I didn't read yet. It says that the mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and attachments. Actually, not only this lifetime, but also previous lifetimes, we had so many desires, so many attachments. And basically, it's always the same: wife, children, you know, money, you know, house, Jai Jagadish Hari, you know. And in this age, we have the color TV and all those things too. But that's true. That's actually the purpose of taking sannyas, is actually to restrain from all these attachments. Of course, one cannot prematurely take sannyas. And that's why it was only advised, you know, in old age, in the Vedic times, that, you know, the kings were taking, you know, renunciation. And it was also not really meant for every, you know, ashram, for any varna, adoptive shudras, or even the vaishyas would be taking sannyas. It was mainly like for, you know, kshatriyas, kings, you know, brahmanas, who would have a higher understanding, a higher development in Krishna consciousness, who were able to get into this stage of taking sannyas. Because, like you said, we have so many, you know, attachments, so many desires. Yeah. That's why it's good to be a pujari, because then on the altar you can very easily meditate upon Krishna. Yeah. It's very purifying. I have to say that in all the years that I have been a pujari, I have to say I made any progress in chanting rounds. In chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, or that I made any progress in reading the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, in memorizing verses. I don't feel like I made any progress in that realm, but just by doing the pujari service, which is my main activity in the temple, I feel that just by doing this activity, I feel like the progress is there. Like, you know, there is more attachment to Krishna than I had 15 years ago or so. And I can see that it's purifying me. And although the other activities in Krishna consciousness are not that, you know, brilliant, but just by focusing on this one activity, you know, it is helping me a lot. And Prabhupada also mentions that and there is this verse where there are the 9 processes of bhakti, you know, the shravanam, kirtanam, you know, and archanam, deity worship. You can do all 9 together, which is perfect. But if you just do one of these activities, you know, and focus on it, then you will achieve the same result of making progress in spiritual life. Yeah. Yes. Yes, of course. We make the vow. If we take initiation, we make the vow to chant 16 rounds at least. So that's the basic. So it's true. I mean, the chanting is the most purifying. Yeah. That's yeah. She went Maharaj Bharat's way. She distracted. Some deer came to catch her attention. Yeah, this happens. Yeah. We sometimes get so convinced about our own opinion that we even do not listen to what the guru says. And this is the pitfall of fall down for spiritual life. In every activity you do, you have to follow the instructions of the guru. And the first instruction he gives you is chanting 16 rounds. Okay, it's true. Yeah, you can just do one. Maybe if you're on the pure devotee level, then you can just be engaged in just one. But yeah, the Shravanam Kirtanam is the most basic. That has to be always there. Even you cannot imagine deity worship without Shravanam Kirtanam. We're chanting so many mantras. We're actually supposed to chant the Hare Krishna mantra all the time while we worship the deities. So it's... But yeah, the mind can distract us quite a lot. Vaiko, you wanted to say something? No? Okay. Yes, Mataji. Mm-hmm. In fact, yes, although he could have taken care of the deer, there was nothing wrong with taking care of the deer, but it shouldn't have been his entire focus. He became overly attached to taking care of the deer and protecting it. And although there was nothing wrong in taking care of the deer, but he forgot his main duties of worshipping, meditating upon the Lord. So... Yeah, that's where he made the mistake, actually. And it's true that the self-realized soul, he sees not the body, but he sees the spirit soul within each body. And he sees also equally. So here, some proof we could say that Maharaj Bharat was not really on the totally pure self-realized level, is he still made distinction. He saw the lion roaring, he saw the mother deer losing the baby, he saw the small deer, and he had to take care of the deer by protecting it against tigers and against and giving it grass so it wouldn't die from hunger. So he made this distinction still on the bodily platform. And so, of course, it's all Krishna's pastime, because Krishna wants to instruct us through his example. Then also we see in the next life he became a deer himself, and then he started to have remorse, then he started to seek association with great sadhus, and then in his next birth he again got a human body and was born in a Brahmana family. So ultimately nothing is lost. So here we can see also Krishna promises his devotee that if you are my devotee, then you will never be lost. Although it may seem temporarily like he lost contact with Krishna, he fell down into material attachments, But ultimately, Krishna took care of him in his next birth and his next birth. So ultimately, he was sure to connect to Krishna again and to go back home, back to Godhead. And so, it's just the Bhagavatam teaches us through different examples. So, an example here is that, of course, yeah, temporarily he neglected his worship of Krishna for the sake of the deer, but it's only temporary. And ultimately, you know, he didn't forget Krishna, because it's very difficult. Even if devotees come to the temple for a while and then they move out and they are engaging back into material activities and sense gratification, but it's very difficult even for them to completely forget Krishna. So ultimately Krishna will take care of them too. How he became violent? Well, probably because he protected the deer. Yeah, actually, I was thinking that, you know, when I prepared for the class about this too. He probably protected the deer against tigers, means that he probably killed some tigers, you know, who were coming too close, you know, to the deer or something. So that's how he became giving up his religious duty of non-violence. Why somebody is attached to a dog? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get back. Well, if I understood the question, well, is if somebody is attached to a dog, then yeah. Yes. Well, I guess that the difference is, you know, if a devotee is attached to the dog or a non-devotee is attached to the dog, then there's a big difference. Well, there is an example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita who was a Chivananda saint, had a dog. Maybe he wasn't, you know, really so attached to the dog, but he was taking care of the dog. And I know there are many devotees who also have pet animals. Yeah, cows. Okay, cows. You know, watch out, you don't become cow in the next life. But you can become cow in Vrindavan. But like in the case here, Maharaj Bharat was totally focused. You know, his only attention was, he was all alone in the forest there. His only companion was the deer. So at the time he left the body, you know, he became the deer. Because, you know, the time you leave the body, whatever the mind contemplates upon, and it's like the wind carries aromas. There's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, it takes you, your thoughts take you to your next birth. So if somebody is, like, you know, attached to his pet dog, then if that's his only meditation, he can think of nothing else than his dog. When he dies, then it's very likely he might, you know, enter into the body of a dog in his next life. Then how Maharaj Bharat, you know, was a devotee? Yeah, he was a great devotee. But he didn't forget Krishna. In his next birth, when he became the deer, he remembered Krishna. So then he sought association of great sadhus. And he took up the path of devotional service again. Now if someone is not a devotee, then never has known about Krishna, then yeah, for him only karma exists and only these karmic reactions exist. So, if there's any more questions, then it's time for prasadam now. Radharat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.